Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Brittany Finkel as today's guest. Brittany Finkel is the founder of Happily Ever Borrowed. Always drawing and designing, she graduated from Cornell University with a degree in fiber science and apparel design. Over the past 10 years, she's worked as a merchandiser for top luxury companies such as Ralph Lauren, Hermes, and Chanel. She launched Happily Ever Borrowed in 2012 to help women to rent their bridal accessories for their wedding day. Happily Ever Borrowed's mission is to not only help brides save money, but to also help reduce the waste of the wedding industry. Brittany, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do with Happily Ever Borrowed and what led you there.
Sure. So we rent bridal accessories to brides for their wedding day. So everything from the veil to headpieces to jewelry to sashes, everything except the dress. And basically, when I was in college, I was an apparel design major and my sisters were getting married and they asked me to design their wedding dresses. And I said, no way, that's way too much pressure. But when we went shopping together, I realized how poor some of the construction was in these pieces and how expensive they were. And, you know, once my sisters found their dream gown, they realized they also needed a veil and a headpiece and a sash and all of these other accoutrements that they hadn't budgeted for. And all of those things were even more expensive. So the idea I kind of sat on for a little bit while I finished up school. And then I started my career in the fashion industry and kind of buying and planning. And I was in New York City and kind of like the tech bubble was happening with Rent the Runway starting and Birchbox. And I got really into the idea of launching Happily Ever Borrowed and finally kind of making that come to fruition. So I actually partnered with my friend Haley Page, who is now a big wedding dress designer, but we went to school together and we kind of conceptualized the idea, started pitching it to investors. And right as we were ready to launch, Haley got her own line. So she bowed out and we're still good friends to this day. So it's all good. But I kind of took it from there and launched it. And originally, our idea was to do wedding dresses because we had design background and to rent bridal gowns to women in brick and mortar stores. And obviously, we pivoted from there and made it an online only an accessory boutique so that we could focus more on the accessories than the dresses. And now it's been almost 9 years later and we're still going along.
That's awesome. And I love the fact that you kind of use something that you were personally going through. I mean, you were in college and your sisters were getting married to kind of spark the inspiration for this all.
Definitely. And I think that's how most entrepreneurs really kind of stumble across their launches and their findings. It's just, it's a pain point that they have in their lives that encourages them to kind of look and research and see that there's nothing that they can't find what they're looking for. And then I think from there, people really can jump off and create what they need for themselves and others.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I really want to ask about is the whole inventory and investors aspect, because I think that that's something really interesting is just kind of how you manage your inventory and where you keep it, and then also how you secured your funds to get the inventory. So what were both of those processes like?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been an evolution from the start. So when we first started going to investors, it was really just with the idea. And honestly, the feedback we were getting from investors is just, you know, the cost of inventory of wedding gowns is obviously very expensive, which is why we pivoted to the accessories part. So that was kind of the first piece. And then when talking to investors, we really struggled with just kind of the wedding industry in general. I think a lot of investors are very afraid of it because, to be honest, it's a one-time or hopefully one-time use item. So it's really hard to acquire customers to get that like cost per acquisition and then keep them because there really should be no reason why they're using your service more than once. So even though, you know, the wedding industry is pretty recession-proof, albeit this time right now is not good for weddings. Yeah. Even though weddings are pretty recession proof, and you know, even though there's always going to be brides and always going to be brides who want to save money, it is expensive to acquire customers. So we had a really hard time finding investors, and I honestly put all of my, I think at the time, I'd probably only been working about 3 or 4 years. So I took my 401k savings, I put a lot on credit cards to make it work. And then I did find some angel investors with just a small bit of funding to get started and to just purchase that initial inventory. Over the past almost 10 years that we've had the business, originally it started as buying items directly from the designers at a wholesale price and then renting them for, you know, a fraction of that. Because the bridal markup in the industry is actually super expensive. So I can buy the piece as a bridal shop owner or as happily ever borrowed for usually like 2 to 3 times less than what the customer is paying, which is standard across any industry, which is how companies make money. But then we were renting it to brides for about 10 to 20% of the retail price so that we would break even in about 2 or 3 rentals. So that was kind of the model for a long time. And then I really got inspired about a year ago that I felt that Happily Ever Borrowed had created enough of a name for ourselves that we could really create our own products. And obviously I have a design background. I had been in the industry now for almost 10 years. I knew what brides wanted. I saw they wanted to rent. So I started designing my own product, and that really helped me, you know, get the margins down and be able to produce more items at a lower cost and to do it myself. And help us break even, you know, on the first rental. So that really helped me change my inventory model as well. And I've really been focusing more on creating my own products for brides because I just think, you know, it makes more sense for the business. It's easier for me to actually get brides what they want because they can come directly to me and say, I'm looking for something like this. And I can let them know if I can do it myself or I can, you know, get it from another designer. And I think especially for bridal accessories, brides aren't super focused on the designer name of it. So I think for your wedding dress, it might be a little bit different if you have your heart set on a specific gown or designer. But I think for the accessories, there's a little bit more flexibility and brides kind of just looking for a specific type of veil or type of product, but not necessarily the designer. Right. So that's kind of how we've pivoted and gotten to the point where we are today.
Awesome. So kind of thinking about how you've been having Happily Ever Borrowed for the past almost 10 years, and since you've made so many different transitions, what would you say has been the most difficult part of owning your business?
You know, I think getting the word out has been always the biggest challenge. And I think marketing is hugely important for trying to get any business off of the ground. And even though I've had some really great success and press through the, you know, New York Times and through Martha Stewart and brides, and again, like those have been either me reaching out or just them finding out about me, and you know, PR is a whole nother kind of magic ball game itself. But I think, you know, advertising is really expensive and really hard for me, especially because we're, you know, renting bridal accessories at such a low price. It's really hard to, again, like get that cost per acquisition price down when you're selling something that's such a low value. So it's been a challenge, and I would say it continues to be a challenge. You know, the advertising channels changed drastically. When I started the business, you know, I think Pinterest maybe had just started and Instagram didn't exist. So, yeah. Which seems crazy that that was only 10 years ago.
I know.
But yeah, like the things are changing constantly and the way you need to advertise changes constantly. So I would say that continues to be the biggest struggle is just getting the word out. How do I get brides kind of to even know that we exist?
Yeah. And I think that's definitely a lot of things people struggle with is just not only figuring out how to effectively market yourself, but also where to do it. Because I think a lot of people, like thinking about social media specifically, they think, oh, the more social media platforms I'm using, the more people that I reach and the more people who are going to want to hire me or purchase products from me. But in reality, your ideal customer isn't on every single platform. So being able to only focus on the platforms where your ideal audience is actually hanging out is what's key. And so I think that what you touched upon with the fact that advertising channels that you're focusing on are always changing is really something important to keep in mind, because what worked maybe even a few years ago, never mind last year, may not work now.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, Facebook was huge when I first started, and now it's really pivoted to Instagram. And, you know, Pinterest has kind of ebbed and flowed over time. So I would just say, you know, to keep testing and iterating, because things are just changing at a rapid pace. And, you know, while you should definitely keep your ear to the ground and kind of see what's out there in terms of different ways to advertise yourself, becoming really focused on one, I think, is the key, because none of us, especially solo founders, have the time to figure out every single advertising channel or every single social media channel. It's just, it's too overwhelming.
Definitely. And I think it's amazing that you were featured in incredible wedding industry publications such as Martha Stewart, Brides, and New York Times, because those are huge accomplishments for you. And so I know you mentioned that with PR, that was something that you had to kind of do yourself. So what would you say that has worked really well for you with kind of being able to pitch Happily Ever Borrowed to big publications like that, that our listeners may be able to use for their own businesses?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different things you can do. I think, first of all, it's really about, you know, timing and connections and finding the right person. And that's why, you know, PR firms are pretty invaluable in terms of just getting your story in front of the right people. I've never been able to afford to use one, so I've had to use my own resources to kind of get in there. And, you know, I think I'm also very lucky in the sense that no one else has done what I did. In the past, and even now, there's very few other companies who are doing rentals for bridal. So it's been really easy for me to connect with those big publications to say, I'm doing something differently. And I think they're always looking for new things that they want other brides to be able to know about. So I think doing your research, honestly, sometimes I just go on LinkedIn, I look for their names, I try to find like, who's the publisher or who's the editor or who's a reporter for those specific things. And there's a lot of cold emailing going on of me just trying to reach the right person and tell them my story. And I would say that's how I originally started. Another really great resource is called HARO, H-A-R-O.
Oh,
and
love
it stands
it.
For help a reporter out. And they basically send you an email digest every day of reporters who are looking for specific stories. So I use that a lot to just like see what's out there and what people are looking for. And oftentimes they'll be like looking for a female entrepreneur to share her story, or looking for, you know, experts in the bridal industry to tell us what's in or out for the season. And I'll always submit my name and Happily Ever Borrowed in those, just to try to get, you know, again, more eyes and more link backs to the site and more words. So that's, again, like a free resource you can use. And that really is, I think, the best way for you to get started and just and start trying to connect with the reporters and get your business out there.
Yeah, HARO is an amazing resource. That's how I was able to get features in like Huffington Post and Thrive Global and Sway mm-hmm. Magazine and things like that. And it's just, especially because it's free. I mean, it's so valuable for entrepreneurs at any point in time of their business, but especially when they're starting out. So I love that it works for you too.
Definitely.
So knowing that advertising and marketing was the biggest thing that you struggled with in terms of Happily Ever Borrowed, on the opposite end, what was the most rewarding part of starting your business?
I think, you know, anytime I get a note from a bride that she was able to wear something that she otherwise wouldn't have been able to wear is just the best day. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, the reason I started this business was to help brides not only save money, but also to save the environment. It's super wasteful to buy something that you can only wear once. And, you know, having worked in the luxury fashion industry, I understand how craftsmanship and quality is super important. And when you see all the work that goes into those beautiful luxury handbags, you understand why it costs so much. But also, that's something that you can cherish and love and wear every day or, you know, on special occasions, but over many, many years. And even though your wedding is one of the most special days of your life, it's just really unfortunate that you have to spend so much money on something you can literally only wear once. Not to mention, you know, all the ways that the fashion industry is difficult in terms of, you know, all of the factories and how far overseas things are produced and all of the carbon emissions and all of the shipping back and forth. So there are so many environmental factors that go into it. I think the last stat I read is that like every wedding in the US produces something like 400 to 500 pounds of waste,
And it's just like a crazy number to think about. And so, you know, originally I would say it really started because I lived in New York City. I wanted brides to be able to save money. It was also about, you know, space. Like, it seemed crazy to me that you had to hold on to this, you know, big ball gown, or, you know, closet space was really at a premium in New York City. So like having to hold on to that stuff after your wedding was crazy. But as the business has evolved, and I think as the, you know, world has evolved in terms of being really more focused on sustainability and environmental factors, I think it just makes more sense to borrow. And, you know, it's also really special. I think even my own wedding dress, I was lucky enough that Haley made me my wedding dress, but I sold it to someone after my wedding because I wanted someone else to feel as special as I felt in my dress, and to be able to celebrate and wear a gown that she could afford. And we actually still stay in touch, me and that woman. And she actually then gave it to her friend to wear. So like, and I have pictures of all of us each in the same wedding dress. And it's actually just,
oh,
it
my
feels
gosh.
Really special and emotional that like all of these women have shared in wearing the same dress. And I feel the same way about all of our products and accessories on Happily Ever Borrowed. Like, brides are sharing these pieces for their most like special intimate moments of their lives. And I find it really kind of, maybe it's a little woo-woo, but I think it's really beautiful that we're able to share something in those moments and to be able to feel like we have something really special, but not waste it and put it in a closet and never look at it again.
Well, I feel like the whole emotional aspect of it is something that really is a big trigger for your business, with the fact that, as you mentioned, I mean, knowing that so many brides have benefited from being able to use your product, and they probably all had those same feelings and emotions when they were walking down that aisle and enjoying their time with family and friends. So it's amazing to think about how many lives the products that you have at Happily Ever Borrowed have impacted in such a positive way for such an incredibly special time in these people's lives.
Yeah, I think it's really beautiful. It's really special. Sometimes I get the question of like, oh, well, like, what if they got divorced? Like, do you have any stats on that? And like, A, no, of course I don't. I don't know whether people have, they don't like reach out to me to be like, by the way, now I'm divorced. But like, also, it's not about that. It's not about like the future of your marriage. It's about the way you felt on that day and the fact that brides are able to like share that moment together. And I think that's what I focus on. I think that's what other brides focus on. And it's just incredible to think about how many thousands of brides have kind of shared in this business together. And it's been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, knowing that that was your most rewarding part of your business, what would you say led you to your success over the past almost 10 years with Happily Ever Borrowed?
You know, I think just staying the course and being really true to who we are. I think so many times I've, you know, whether it's talking to other business owners or investors, people have reached out and been like, why don't you rebuy stuff from other brides? And why don't you make this a marketplace? And why don't you, you know, make this more of like a consignment type of play? And I think for me, I felt really strongly about making sure that we were connecting with the specific designers and that we had their permission to rent their products, because I think it feels really different for a designer when she sees her pieces kind of being resold. And even though some designers can take it in a good way in terms of, okay, like again, people are reusing my item and love my item through different events, it's hurtful to their business sometimes. So I think it was really important for me to partner with those designers directly and make sure we had their permission, and to really continue to just operate our model the way we wanted to operate it, which was to just rent for as, you know, as low as a price we could in order to still make money and break even for ourselves. And to provide the highest quality items. Cause I think you could also go down the route of, you know, I do get brides who reach out all the time who are like, well, I can get a veil cheaper on Amazon. And I'm like, of course you can. Like, and all power right. to you. Like, if that's what you want, like, go for it. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to help reduce the waste in the wedding industry. We don't want you buying an item that is potentially cheaper and not of high quality and contributing to, you know, all of the different environmental factors that contributes to. And really just staying true to that, staying true to what our mission is, I think is kind of what's super important to me.
Yeah. And what's absolutely an important part of that is, as you mentioned, Happily Ever Borrowed is not only about reducing like the carbon imprint and stuff like that on the world with the wedding industry, but also being able to still provide those high quality products. So even though multiple brides are using them, I mean, they're still high quality, high end, and things that people truly love.
Exactly. And, you know, obviously when something has been worn too much, like it goes out of the collection and, you know, there are things that like on a veil, if we have a tiny, tiny hole and we're talking like less than the size of your pinky nail, like that's going to be part of the veil and it's okay. Like, I promise you, no one is going to see that. And, you know, or like if a tiny, tiny crystal is fallen out, like those types of things happen. And the point is it's okay. And you're getting this high-end quality piece that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to have. And of course, again, you can totally get something less expensive on Etsy or Amazon. And if that's what you want to do, like we totally encourage brides to do that as well. But it's not our only mission and it's not exactly what we stand for. So I think for any business owner, you know, I think it's always important to take in feedback and to listen and to change and iterate your plan as you go forward. I mean, I did the same in the beginning. I thought I was going to do wedding dresses in a brick and mortar boutique and it ended up being wedding accessories online. But to also like really understand what your business stands for, what you really want to do with it, that will really help you kind of craft your message and continue that to evolve the business over time.
100%. So Brittany, if there was one thing that you wish you did differently or one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
I think I probably would have pivoted to designing my own pieces earlier. I think I put a lot of clout on the designer names in the beginning. And it's probably from me coming from the luxury fashion side of the business that, you know, people are very focused on those designer names. And I think even in general, people have changed over time and maybe designers were something they were more interested in years ago than they are now. So I think I would have pivoted earlier just because I think I could have gotten brides what they wanted a little bit easier and had more access to have more inventory on the site and design things earlier. And but otherwise, I mean, everything I've done and every mistake I've made has helped me learn to do what I need to do for the business. So I wouldn't change much, to be honest.
I love that. And so knowing that you started your business pretty much right when you were out of college, why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age?
You know, I think I kind of see both sides of it. I think it is really important to kind of get a little bit of experience out there and understand what's going on in your industry. And if you're starting, I guess, your business in the same industry that you're working in, I think it's been great to start something when I was younger because it's obviously helped me be creative throughout my whole career. And it's also helped, it's an ebb and flow. It always helped me also in my career as well. The things that I learned through Happily Ever Borrowed, I could use in my day job, you know, in my full-time job and vice versa. The things I learned in my full-time job, I could use and implement towards Happily Ever Borrowed. So I don't know if it's necessarily like important that you start it at a young age, but I think that, you know, obviously just having also like the edge and the idea to change, I think sometimes comes when we're younger and a little bit less jaded and yeah. Kind of used to what's out there in the industry. I think, you know, when I first started, so many people were like, well, this is not how the wedding industry works and it'll never work because you like everybody buys their bridal accessories in a store and that will never change. And obviously 10 years later, that has absolutely changed. So I think when you're younger, you probably have a little bit more wide space to think about how things can change. And, you know, just naturally, I think as we learn, it's hard to keep your mind open to those different possibilities. So I could say that would probably be the most important to start when you're younger. You just might flow ideas a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you pointed out that the creativity that you have from Happily Ever Borrowed has fueled the creativity for your career and vice versa. So now that we're kind of transitioned into this topic of having a day job and happily ever borrowed, what are your tips for really being able to balance both? Because I know that, of course, you're probably super passionate about both of them, but how do you manage being able to put so much time and effort into both of them and still feel like that you have that enough time to focus on yourself?
Yeah, it's hard. And again, like, it evolves over your lifetime. So I think I am super lucky that I started it when I was young, because I had the energy and the gumption to kind of go out there and just start something. And I had felt pretty, to be honest, a little bit bored in my career and was missing kind of that creative part of my life that I had when I was designing. So that's really what helped me kind of push forward a little bit more with Happily Ever Borrowed. And I think it's changed over time. So at the beginning, it was really hard because I was starting a new business and I was working full time, and trying to create a business at the beginning is super hard. But I think once I had the right tools in place and the right kind of automation with the website and the way that the operations worked with the site, it got easier to do both at the same time. Mm. So I think I would just say, you know, hang in there. It's hard. I still recommend that people hold on to their full-time job as long as they can, because it really does help you kind of fund your life and fund the business. Without that, it's really hard. And I know other people give different advice in terms of, like, no, you need to 100% focus on your entrepreneurship and your business and not your career. And, you know, I've done both. There's been periods of my life where I did just focus on Happily Ever Borrowed. Last year we moved across the country from New York to Oregon because my husband got a job out here. And in between time of me leaving New York and finding a new role over here, you know, I had almost a year to work on Happily Ever Borrowed directly and just work on that. And it was great. And I was able to move the needle a lot more and focus a lot more on the business. But it's also hard when you're in a period of your life where, you know, we're buying a house and we want to start a family. And when you think about those things, and Happily Ever Borrowed, you know, wasn't bringing in the same amount of money as my career was, you know, it's hard with that trade-off to make those decisions. So I know it's kind of rambling a little bit, but I just think, like, over time, your different periods of life kind of evolve and change and what you need. And to just think about that as you go through your journey. I think you make the business what you need. And if it can be something that helps you exercise creatively outside of your full-time job, like, that's what Happily Ever Borrowed has always been for me.
I love that. And it sounds like what Happily Ever Borrowed has also been for you was just something, like, you had this idea and you pursued it and you found a way to make it work despite all of these, like, life changes and exciting transitions that you're going through. It's always been that little corner of creativity for you to be able to continue to pursue and explore and always find ways to innovate and move forward.
Definitely. And I have to say, like, it's been great in evolving my career as well. When I was at Chanel, they actually asked me at my job to move divisions into the e-commerce division because they knew I had an e-commerce website. And they said, like, we're launching e-commerce. We don't know much about it, and we think you could be helpful. So as much as people are always, you know, nervous to tell their jobs about their side hustle, it helped propel my career, actually. And now over here, I'm now working at Nike, and they often come to me and say, like, oh, we're thinking about something differently on e-commerce. Like, can we pick your brain? And that's great. Like, it's awesome to have this knowledge on the side, and it helps you kind of pivot and change your career as well. So I always encourage people, as long as you're not, you know, doing something that directly interferes with your full-time job and your side hustle, like, tell people what you're doing, and it might just help change the course and the path of your career in a good way.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I know that personally with me, that was something that I struggled with starting my business at 19 years old. I felt almost, like, weird to talk about the fact that I was a business owner, because of course I'm like, who's going to take me seriously? But I'm like, no one owns businesses when they're this young. So I love that you shared that, being able to talk about your passion and what you do and how you have this exciting new project going on is so important.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it really does give people a different insight into who you are and how you spend your time. I mean, you could be someone who, if they don't know that you're working and hustling on the side, they could think you're just spending your time, you know, like, watching Netflix when you go home. But I think a lot of people think differently about you when you say, like, no, I go home and I work on my business. Like, that shows a lot of hustle and grit and tenacity that you know, and people, and sometimes when people hear that you're like juggling that on the side of your full-time job, they're like, wow, she's really doing a lot more. And it gives them a better insight into who you are and how you operate and what you're passionate about. And I think that will help propel your career for sure.
Absolutely. Brittany, you've left so many pieces of advice for our listeners throughout this episode, but if there was one last thing that you would share with people that you think they could really benefit from hearing, what would it be for people who are really interested in starting a business at a young age?
I think one of the key points for me was really just educating myself and networking. I think when I first started the business, I was going to meetups every night about like different entrepreneurs and how to raise funding and how to build a website. And we had this place called General Assembly in New York where you could take classes on, you know, different entrepreneurial things. And just talking to other people about what you want to do really helps you evolve and create what you want to create. And don't be afraid to share your ideas, you know, learn from other people. And I think that networking is really what helped me understand what I needed to do. And without that, I would have been in a silo and not kind of been able to learn from all those people. So I think early in your career, make sure, and your business venture, make sure that you're getting out there networking, talking to other people, asking how they did it. And don't be afraid to reach out to other people and just ask for advice. Most of the time, people are happy and willing to share how they got there. And you'll learn so much from that.
Yeah, networking is seriously invaluable. And I feel like a lot of people think it's almost like a cliche because everyone's always like, network, network, network. But it's so important. It's just being able to meet different people and talk to them about what you're doing and share your ideas and help each other beneficially and all that stuff. I mean, it can do so much for you, not only in that present moment, but also years down the line. I mean, someone you met 5 years ago could come back around and want to connect with you further. So it's just you create these relationships and bonds that can last for years to come.
Totally. I absolutely agree. And even if you think it's not going to be super relevant for you, and you know, there were plenty of things that I was creating a bridal business and I was going to like tech meetups and it doesn't seem like congruent at all, but it was really important because I understood what else was going on in the world and how I could apply that to my business. So anything you can do to just learn and meet people, I think is important and definitely the key.
For sure. Well, Brittany, I'd love if you could share now where our listeners can find you if they'd like to connect with you further or ask you any questions, because as I mentioned, you've shared such invaluable advice here and I'd love for people to know where they can reach you online.
Of course. So happilyeverborrowed.com is where you can find us. On Instagram, we're at happilyeverborrowed. And my email is on the website and you can reach me there. And the one plug I want to make is that we are just committed to helping brides who have had to change their date due to COVID. And we are giving away free $25 gift cards to any bride who has had to change their wedding date or any of their wedding plans. So you can find all the details on the site. And if you guys are brides yourselves or know of any brides who have had to change their plans due to what's going on in the world, I'm happy to help. So feel free to point them in the direction of Happily Ever Borrowed.
Awesome. I'll make sure to include all of that information and links within the show notes so that way people can click through in case they missed it. But Brittany, thank you so much for being a guest on the Student to CEO podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.